Greetings, this is Reverend Juliet Nightingale, and welcome to this transmission of Toward the Light, Leading Back to the Source. This is a program centered on near-death, out-of-body, and similar spiritually transformative experiences, including what people should know about the dying process, the many facets of after-death communications, living interdimensionally and being multisensory, intuition and telepathy, and more. We feature special guests who are both experiencers and researchers, and you're welcome to call in to ask questions and make comments during the show. The toll-free telephone number in the U.S. is 877-876-5227. Otherwise, you can ring 530-876-3222. I am available for private consultations as a clairvoyant medium, as well as for spiritual and grief counseling and near-death support, and I am also a certified Reiki practitioner. I'd like to encourage you to help support this program by making a donation or sponsoring a show. For more information on all of this, please visit towardthelight.org. This week I am very pleased to welcome Nancy Clark. Nancy is the author of a splendid book called Hear His Voice, and she is also an experiencer of spiritually transformative experiences. So welcome, Nancy. How are you?
Fine, Juliet. Thank you for having me as a guest this evening.
It's really an honor to have you, and I want to say I have so thoroughly enjoyed reading your book, and it has made a tremendous impact on me as an experiencer and also as someone who's been able to really empathize and relate so deeply to everything that you have written. And so what I would like to do, Nancy, is invite you, first of all, to share with our listening audience the experience that you had that led up to the writing of this book. And I know that there's a lot that has happened to you ever since childhood. I know that you were very, very devoted to spirit ever since you were very young, and that is something that you and I have both had in common. And so go ahead and just start sharing with our audience what you'd like about your experience that was so powerful that changed your life forever.
Indeed, it did transform my life forever. But early on during childbirth, I had a near-death experience. I actually died during childbirth, and I recovered in a morgue. That was not a very deep NDE, encompassing all of the various elements that we commonly know about near-death experiences. I did see the light. I was in a place of unspeakable peace, etc. But I did come back from that experience. However, years later, in 1979, a more profound and deeper experience happened to me. During this time, I was delivering a eulogy for a friend of mine. I spontaneously lifted out of my body. I saw a light at the ceiling level in the rear of the room. The light is not of this earth. It was like seeing a trillion suns merged into one, the luminosity so brilliant that my eyes beheld the glory of it without being, fearful or anything like that. I was totally engaged in the brilliance of the light. The moment I lifted out of my body, I experienced being in another dimension, the real reality, if you
yes.
will. I felt home again. You know what I'm talking
about. Oh, absolutely.
About, there's no feeling like that. It's a real reality, more real than anything. I remember thinking that the physical dimension that I had just lifted out of was actually an illusion. And that was quite a light bulb moment. at that moment, I thought of the researchers. I have been trained in the scientific method. I've done cancer research for many years. And I thought of my colleagues, those who question the existence of alternative realities. And I thought I was going to do everything that I could to encourage researchers to explore alternate realities, because they do exist. And indeed. I had just entered into one.
Indeed. Now, yeah. I want to interject something. Mm-hmm. I want to back up just a little bit, because I apologize. I had forgotten that indeed you have been through a near-death experience.
Yes, yes.
But you don't, is it true that you don't really have much recall of it, or was there just not much of,
yes,
an incident, as it were?
No.
Or?
I have total recall of it, but it was not a very deep experience, and I'll tell you why. Because the moment I lifted out of my body, I saw my physical form on the table and the resuscitation process going on, and I felt no feeling toward that physical form lying there. It was as if I was looking at my coat lying on a table.
Yes.
The
yes.
real me, the essence of who I was still very much alive.
Indeed.
You know, floating and looking down upon this. The nurse, however, kept saying to me, "Come on back, Nancy. Come on back." And she was pounding on my chest. Well, I didn't want to come back. I wanted to go towards the light. But it was her incessant nagging that I decided that the only way to be released from this incessant nagging of the nurse pounding on my chest and saying, "Come on back," is to come on back. So
yes.
I did it for that reason. If it had not been for that nurse, I believe I would have moved through deeper elements of that experience, and who knows, I might not have come back.
That
so
is very interesting.
Yeah.
Some of the things that will happen that pull us back, or even like in my case, I was told I needed to come back. In a lot of the same ways that you have been given this message that you, or assignment, I should say, that you've got to deliver a message to the world.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's a mission we have, it's a calling, and we cannot be happy until we fulfill that.
Oh, isn't that the truth?
Oh. Indeed, I received greater knowledge and understanding of my mission in that second transcendent experience when I was delivering the eulogy.
And would you say that maybe as a result of having had an NDE before that, that you were prepared for this spiritually transformative experience?
I've always felt that.
Okay.
I always felt that there had been a connection, that I somehow, that first experience somehow opened me in some spiritual sense to be able to receive these tremendous and powerful life-transforming experience years later. Yeah, I've always felt there was a connection to that.
So what happened again? You were actually reading the eulogy for your friend. Was it John?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. And then at the moment, whilst you were reading the eulogy, you actually separated from your physical form.
Yes, yes. I saw John, not with my physical eyes, but through some other spiritual awareness. The light was exuding such unconditional love for me. It was beyond words. It was not human-type love at all. It goes beyond measure, beyond infinity. The love is just beyond words. Only another near-death experiencer can understand what I'm talking about.
Oh, yes. I'm sitting here with tears in my eyes,
know.
Too, because it just, every time.
Yes. And we try, and we fail to communicate the depth of that love. But we hope that as we try, we try to inspire others to know that this love awaits them at their time of their death. And in the whole process, I hope that it's comforting to them to know that. There was also no time during my experience, so everything was happening simultaneously.
Yes.
When telepathic communication was taking place, I understood exactly what was being communicated to me by the light. I traveled at a fast rate through dark space. I saw at least 11 dimensions. And again, that's hard to describe because
yes.
I don't have the language. But you know, it's my understanding now that the new theoretical quantum physicists around the world are beginning to investigate what the mystics have described for years, that our world is an illusion and that there are many dimensions other than the ones that we're familiar with. So for me, this is exciting because it corresponds to what I've experienced.
Well, when I read that in your mm-hmm. book, I just thought, aha,
mm-hmm.
because
yeah.
that's exactly what was emphasized to me when right after I was told that I had to come back to the physical plane, and this was not referred to as home.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually referred to as you were going to have to go back to that alien world to
yeah.
teach that life is eternal. And you must remember that it is an illusion. So that's interesting how
uh-huh.
people like you and I and countless others do get this message
yes.
that the
yes,
physical plane is just an illusion. It's a hologram.
Right. And you know, where did that information come from? I mean, I had never been exposed to something that profound before until that moment. No one had ever crossed my path to say, oh, this is all an illusion. You know?
Yes.
And so when you get that truth during your experience, and then you come across another experiencer who says the same thing, wow.
Indeed.
You know? We can't all be hallucinating the same messages.
Oh, no, indeed. And it's just so clear and so consistent.
Yes.
And that sort of thing does not take place with hallucination.
That's right. That's right. And these experiences transform people's lives, and hallucinations don't have that power.
Exactly.
To do that. The light also showed me that we are spirits living in a physical body, and that we have enormous spiritual power to create unlimited potential for ourselves. That is something I never knew. I never knew that I was spirit. I always thought I was a physical body and that I had a spirit living inside of me, but that my primary self was this physical ego. And that wasn't what was revealed to me. It was the exact opposite, that our true essence is spirit. It is of the light. We are parts of the light, and that is our true self. And when we radiate that out from ourselves into the world, we bring heaven on earth, really.
Absolutely. It's really interesting when I was reading the part about how cruel that priest was towards you. It just absolutely broke my heart because you were raised as Catholic and you were getting ready to marry someone who was not Catholic, correct? And so this priest was just so cruel and mean-spirited towards you, and it unfortunately really stuck. And until you had this spiritually transformative experience, is that right? That kind of altered all that and set you straight, as it were.
Oh, yes. I mean, it's the power of words. The way that the priest condemned me.
Yeah.
Because I was marrying someone outside of my faith, I believed those words after a month of trying to say to him, oh, I don't think I'm sinning. I'm marrying this wonderful person, and I don't think it's my role to convert him to Christianity or things like that. But as a priest, I guess it was my responsibility to convert him to Christianity, and specifically to Catholicism. And because I was not doing that, God wanted no part of me. God didn't want me to pray to him. God did not want me to set foot inside a church again, because I was the scum of the earth. God could forgive a murderer, but not me.
Wow.
Because I was committing the worst sin by going ahead and marrying this wonderful human being. That devastated me. I had zero self-esteem from that point on until 16 years later, when this experience happened, and like you said, set me right. The truth was revealed to me. I was shown by the light of God how much I was loved and how wrong my perception had been all those years. So words do have power, and we should be aware that any words that we do put out into our circle of humanity, that they be good words, that they be kind, uplifting words to one another.
That is such a very important point you're making,
mm-hmm.
right there, because it is
mm-hmm.
so true. And
mm-hmm.
even when I experience myself being under attack, whether it's a psychic attack or an attack coming from somebody else, even recently I found myself saying to these people, go back to the light, go back to the light, not condemning them or hating them or being angry, but just declaring aloud, go back to the light.
Yeah.
But a question I'd like to ask you, because I know that as a child, very much like myself, you had a very deep personal connection with the light source, and you had your own altar and your communion going. And so I'm curious that when the priest said those horrible things to you, did you not experience spirit countering that? You know, your own communion with spirit, did you not have any sense of spirit countering that and saying, no, that's not accurate, that's not true? Or were you just so shut down that you also were unable to hear the wisdom from spirit? Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. Yes. In the beginning, I did follow spirit. The priest had asked me to come to his office 3 days a week for 2-hour sessions each time. And that was for a period of 1 month. And in the beginning of those sessions, I kept feeling the closeness and the close relationship that I had to spirit. I kept saying that I am a good person, a worthwhile person. I'm loved by God. I go to church every Sunday. I go to confession and communion every week. I have this intimate relationship with God. I'm not a bad person. But each time I presented my view, the priest came back with harsh words. And I was raised to accept anything that a holy man of God spoke of as truth. We were not to question. So I would say about halfway through the month, I began to release my own perception of my truth, and I took on as truth the priest's perception of things. I let go at that point.
Well, he was effectively brainwashing you,
yes,
wasn't he?
I believe so, yes.
And I would beg to differ that he was a holy man of God. Quite the contrary, he was a man of ego and fear and...
Fear is right, and I think he was trying to... I think in his own way, he was trying to use fear as a means of keeping me rooted in my faith and converting my husband to Catholicism.
Now, that's an interesting point there, too, where you say that he was using fear.
Yeah.
Because I think that we have had enough experience to learn that that doesn't work, that fear has got nothing to do with divine force.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
That can never bring us in touch with truth.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Excellent point. There cannot be love and fear existing at the same time.
Exactly.
Cannot. And our mission as human beings on this earth is to get in touch more with our true nature, which is love. And when we realize who we are at the core of our being, we are instruments of light, we are spirit, we are love, and we radiate that outwardly, we draw back to ourselves peace, joy, and the fruits of the Spirit, and no harm can touch us at that point, because we are part of the light, we are one. But the moment we introduce fear into our lives, that's when we forget who we are.
Yes.
And that's the opposite of where we should be headed.
And how delightful that Spirit was able to reach you in spite of all of that happened to you. I was just holding my breath as I was reading this, and I would start crying, and I just thought, oh, bless this precious soul, you know, because I could really empathize with what you were being subjected to. And
there is a greater power, you see, than the darkness. And I had darkness in my life during those 16, 17 years. That I was devoid of any spiritual life whatsoever. And, sometimes when I think about it, I just burst out into tears of thanksgiving for that gift, that miracle that happened to me. It truly was a miracle. When I think of the fact that I'm so little, in this vast universe, I'm such a small peon, and to be loved and cared for to that extent that a loving being, a light, God, Spirit, whatever name, one calls to mean their higher power or higher source, comes into your life like that way, it transforms you. You can't help but be transformed.
Exactly.
Can't help it. Every day of my life, I just say, use me as an instrument. Let me serve. Let me share. And in fact, that was what I was told to do during my experience. In fact, I wanted to stay with the light, but I was told, no, you can't stay. You have to go back.
Oh, boy.
Oh, dear, I wanted to stay. Not because I have such a bad life here. I have a wonderful life, a wonderful family, But it's just that being with the light of God, it's all there is. It's all you can want. It's what you savor, what you long for.
Nothing can compare. Nothing can compare to that.
So once the light told me the work that I was being called to do, I thought about it and I said, yes, I will do that. Because that was my way of giving back something to the light for this tremendous gift that I was receiving at that time. And in my excitement, the light said, I'm paraphrasing, you know, slow down a little bit, hold on, whoa, before you decide whether you want to do this work. You have to know the pros and cons of the work. And with that, I was given a flash forward life preview of my life. And I was shown both the negative and the positive aspects of my work. I was first shown the negative aspects, where I saw myself giving many talks to groups of people, and some people would leave the audience. Some people would snicker and disbelieve what I was sharing with them. I saw my circle of friends disappear, friends thinking I was hallucinating or crazy in some way for sharing what happened during this transformative experience. And that saddened me. Then I was shown the positive aspects of the work. I saw myself again giving many talks to groups of people. I saw all these little red hearts being lifted out of their spirit, up toward the light. I was inspiring people to turn inwardly into themselves, to reach a spirit inside of them, to renew their own lives with purpose and love. And this was the message that I was being called to promulgate. No matter if people would snicker at me or turn away from me, this is what I was called to do. And with that, I said, yes, I will come back. I promise to do this work. And with that, the light communicated to me, as long as you hold on to my hand and don't let go, I shall lead, you shall follow. The path ahead shall be prepared for you. And then just before the light began to fade away, one more word was spoken. Book. And deep within the heart of my soul, I knew the light was telling me I should write a book and share the full story of what happened to me and what I was called to do with my mission once I returned. I promised I would write that book, and then the light began to fade away, and Juliet, the agony and the longing that I felt when the light was fading and receding away was horrible.
Oh, God, I can remember that, too.
But then I reminded myself, this is only temporary. My temporary existence on earth is just but a fleeting moment, and one day I will be reunited with the light again. But in the meantime, I'm being called to service, and that's what I must do now. Turn my attention to this world. The other world will be waiting for me at a later time. So I did write the book.
Splendid job, dear. Oh my goodness.
So much. Means so much to me. I guess this writing this book has probably been the most fulfilling work in my entire life. And you know what happened when I received my first author's copy in the mail, the first edition right off the press? Well, when I unwrapped it and saw actually a book in my hands, this is my life, this is my service to God, I looked at it and I said, you know, this book does not belong to me. It belongs to the light of God, from whom the idea came in the first place. It wasn't my idea to write the book. It was the light instructed me to write the book. So what I did that very day, I wrapped this book in beautiful wrapping paper, tied a bow around it, placed it in the Ziploc bag, and I took it outside into the woods where I live in the country. I dug a hole. I buried this book in the earth. I knelt there beside for about an hour, the sunlight streaming down through the ash trees. Ash trees were resting on my shoulders as I knelt and promised God that I would continue to serve him, that this book was my gift to him, and there was no way I could throw it up into the sky to reach him, so I put it into the ground, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. It was my gift back.
And indeed, it's important to remember that that light source is with us and permeating
yes.
all space.
All space.
And I know that, well, as you were describing the experience of the light receding and still being reassured that the light is always there with us no
yes.
matter what, and yet,
yes.
from the physical vantage point, seeing the light sort of fade from the from our physical eyes, as it were,
yes.
once we enter the physical plane,
yes.
it is just so heartbreaking.
Oh.
And and yet it's so important to remember that the light has never disappeared at all, only our perception of
That's
the light.
That's right.
But,
That's right.
Well,
I'm sure you, as I do, have an ongoing daily awareness of the light's presence with us.
I do.
Yeah, yeah.
I do, and this
yeah.
is why, you know, I was asking you because, you know, when you had the experience with the priest, because, like you, I was always in communion with the light source ever since I was a wee child. I mean, that was really the whole of my reality.
Yeah.
And yet, it is really, really frightening and traumatic when people come at us just so aggressively like that. It's not hard to lose touch with what is real as a result of this aggressive brainwashing and manipulation that
yes.
happens, but
yes.
because so many people experience this on a daily basis,
yes.
being manipulated, being brainwashed, being barraged with all of these fear-laden statements,
mm-hmm.
it's important to remind everyone that that is not real, that
mm-hmm.
we really need to trust our own
yes.
communion with the divine, because it is there all the time, even when we're not perceiving it, because we have been reduced to the lower vibrational frequency of fear.
Yes, yes, yes.
So we're not tuned into the radio station of love. For the moment, we're tuned into the radio station of fear. But the love is still broadcasting. It's still there. And
yes.
we need to focus on raising our
yes.
vibrational frequency back to that
yes.
space of love.
Yes, excellent point. And our ego dominates us to such an extent in our daily lives. We're out there trying to pay our bills. We're worried about, sending our children to college. Where will we have the funds to do that? We're worried about our job status. You know, there are so many things that our ego tries to bombard us with to keep us grounded in that fear.
Yes.
And what we need to do is turn inwardly to Spirit within, who holds all truth, who holds all wisdom, who holds all true perception, that we are okay as long as we work with Spirit and not against Spirit by letting those false perceptions take root and take charge. Meditation is a wonderful way to reach inner truth. Meditation will always reveal truth if we feel love, if we're being guided toward loving behavior outwardly for someone or to someone or to ourselves. Love will always heal. Love will never destroy. Love will always uplift. So we have this reservoir of Spirit within us. Actually, we are Spirit.
Yes.
We are Spirit. and this is what we need for people to realize. Instead of viewing ourselves as this physical entity having a physical experience, it's the other way around.
Yes.
The spirit having, you see.
And I'm really pleased that you made the point that spirit and that love does not destroy.
That's right.
There's nothing
right.
destructive about
right.
divine love and
right.
that energy coming forth. And
right.
I want to ask you, okay, this was in 1979 that you had this powerful experience with
yes.
the light.
Mm-hmm.
When did the book start to come about?
Immediately following that experience, I thought, I'm supposed to write a book. How do you write a book? I never wrote anything except letters to my mother 500 miles away. How do I do this? But I knew that I was going to do it because it came from the mind of God, and as long as you hold on to my hand, you know, you shall do this. So I knew it was going to be done. I just didn't know how I was going to write this book. So that gave me a lot of trouble. When I would attempt to write, nothing came through. I couldn't write. Sentence structure was bad. I kept saying to myself, what do I want the reader to understand? See, that was my big mistake. So it took many years of this struggling with my inability to write that I finally came to the point where I said, at this rate, I'm not going to be able to write this book. So I completely emptied myself one day through prayer, and I said to God, to the light, to my source, this was your idea for me to write this book. I don't know what you want me to write, so I'm getting out of the way. Please write this book through me. Let it be your book. Let it be your words that you want me to write. And once I did that, once I got my ego totally out of the way, the writing came through. In fact, some of the writing took on such a fast rate of speed that I didn't even know what I was writing until I finished sentences and reread them. Sometimes I would wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning with words that were just streaming through my consciousness, and I would go to the computer and put them down right away so I wouldn't forget. That's how the book was written.
Wow.
So it took, I would say, maybe about a couple of years doing it that way, on and off, you know, when I had time to focus on the book itself. When I read the book now myself, and I page through it, it's as if I am reading someone else's book. Because I am amazed at the wisdom that is there. I am amazed at the writing style. I don't write this way myself. I don't speak this way myself. A higher power, a higher source came through and did the inspired writing. That's why when I buried this book in the woods and gave it back to the source from whence it came, I don't consider it my book, if you understand what I'm trying to say. It was totally inspired.
Oh, it is very obvious that it's an inspired piece of work,
yeah.
for sure. Now, we should tell our audience about the book. It is called Hear His Voice. Now, do you have a website, Nancy, where people can
yes.
see the book?
Yes, I do. My website is www.freewebs, that's freewebs.com/Nancy-Clark, and that's all small letters. There's more information about the book and myself and how you can order it and so forth. It is available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com, or directly through me, but people can receive that information from the website.
And if people forget that, you can also find it on my website, towardsthelight.org. and there is an icon, an image on the home page that says near death and related books, and you can click on that and scroll down and you will see an image of Hear His Voice and a hot link from that image that will take you to Nancy's website also. And so that's very good. So again, it's freewebs.com/Nancy, N-A-N-C-Y dash clock, C-L-A-R-K. And also via Toward the Light. So either way, you will be able to find the book, and I would really highly recommend that book. It's a tremendous book. And what are some of the projects that you have been working on since? I know that you were talking about giving talks and workshops, correct?
Yes. I have been doing a number of speaking engagements. I have spoken with colleges, universities, metaphysical and spiritual groups, nursing associations, professional conferences, community civic groups, holding workshops, and trying to help people to tune into their spirit selves so that their own lives can become transformed, so that one does not have to wait until they die to understand the meaning and purpose of our lives.
Oh, indeed.
It's available to us right here, right now, but some of us need direction and encouragement to pursue that path. So this is what I've been trying to do. And apparently I've been encouraged to write another book, and I'm giving readers the opportunity to learn how to hear His voice directly through our everyday experiences, the experiences that ordinary people have with one another. They don't recognize that it is spirit radiating outwardly in every direction from our co-workers, our friends, our neighbors, strangers, and I'm citing examples to show people that the spirit is alive and among us.
And that's a very important reminder, because some people still think that spirit is way up in the sky somewhere, which is not the case at all.
That's right.
Spirit is all around us, and it's just a higher frequency, so the physical eye can't see it, but spirit is not far and away. Spirit is all around us and within us and everywhere. I think I heard a cute little child saying, "There's no spot where God's not."
Oh, I love it. Isn't that the truth?
It's so true. It really is true. Now, do you give speeches outside of your area? I know you're in a place called Columbus, Ohio. Is that correct?
That is right.
Okay.
Yes.
What's considered the Midwest?
Next year, I'm having a big tour in Virginia. I'm going to be speaking to Virginia Beach Ions Group, and I'm going to Richmond, doing some churches there. I'm doing a Course in Miracles group in Charlottesville. So I'm free to travel. If any group would like to sponsor me, get in touch with me. My website has information how to contact me, so I'd be more than happy to arrange something.
That's wonderful. Well, I'm really excited about this work that you're doing, and now you're getting ready to do another book. Have you gotten a sense, a message of what the subject matter is going to be with this new book?
It is going to be how to tune into spirit more, to give people the tools to learn how to recognize spirit's voice.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
So to be sort of like a handbook in a manner of speaking.
In a manner of speaking. Mm-hmm. Reminding, though, that no one can teach another one someone else's truth. All truth is revealed within one's own spirit self. So you can't get it from reading books or attending workshops or lectures. You get it from within. and I'm only someone who comes before an individual to remind them that they hold their own peace. They hold their own truth within. They just need the encouragement to know how to open to it. That's all.
That's a really good point, too, because the way that we really do learn things is through experience.
Yes.
However, I think that as a result of reading, it can trigger something.
Exactly.
It can trigger our own inner wisdom.
Yes, yes.
And
it's a light. It'll show the way. But you have to follow the light if you want to go into the room where the light will embrace and enfold you, reveal itself to you.
That's a really important point, too, because we all have to be responsible. We all have to sort of take this into our own hands, as it were, and participate in that communion with the divine.
Yes.
And it's really interesting to think about in all of the sacred scriptures throughout the world, throughout the ages, there were lots and lots of stories of people having direct communion with the light source.
Yes.
And now in modern times, as people say, oh, I've been talking to God, they want to lock you up. But
yes.
Wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is this is real, that and it's necessary that people do have their own experiences with the divine, and it isn't, we don't really need mediators. And I think you pointed that out too, didn't you?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
In your book.
Mm-hmm.
That we don't need mediators to communicate with the divine, but again, having certain triggers or exercises can help us to more.
That's right.
To have it more available to us.
That's right, that's right, that's right. We should welcome any opportunity that allows us to become the full expression of who we were meant to be. And if someone enters into our life at a particular time, whether it be a teacher or a friend or foe even,
yes,
we can learn from all experiences. It's always an attempt to move us forward in spiritual growth. So we should be thankful for all who cross our path.
When I was reading your book, I found myself really hoping and praying that the priest would come upon what you have shared, and that something would transform him.
Yeah.
Not that he needs the book, but that something could happen to him somehow if he hasn't already left this plane.
Right.
And others like him who are caught in fear.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's...
It was so many years ago, so something perhaps, you know, did happen. And if spirit was... able to intervene in my life as a result of that, perhaps spirit was also gracious enough to intervene in the priest's life as well for healing, because I received healing and perhaps the priest did as well. I hold no anger or animosity toward him. I believe that he felt he was doing the right thing according to his own particular beliefs at the time.
Yes.
It was many, many years ago, and it was old school and old thought. And I certainly don't believe that that's happening across the board, you know, with clergy. Most of them are wonderful teachers, instruments of God.
And ideally, this kind of work will also help them to feel more free within themselves. And and that's another important point, too, about not passing judgment.
That's right.
And I'm trying to remember, did you, I think you did, didn't you have a life review of sorts?
Oh, I did, yes.
That's what I thought.
Yes, indeed. Now, prior to that experience, I believed, because of my religious orientation, that we had a God who sits up on a throne somewhere up in the sky, who, when we die, judges us upon the good and the bad deeds we've done with our lives. And if we're judged to have too many negatives, we're sent downstairs. And if we have some good ones, then we get to stay in the upper room. But this was not what I experienced. I was experiencing the light of God loving me unconditionally throughout my life review. And I was the one judging myself.
There you go.
Yes, indeed. I saw many, many facets of my life, but here was the measuring stick. I now have clarity of understanding of what the meaning and purpose of our life is here on earth. And that one word is love. Love one another. And so I was judging every instance where I was not radiating love outwardly from myself, either for me or for another human being. I was greatly saddened when I saw scenes, for instance, as a child calling another child name. I felt such remorse for that. But the light was loving me through it. I was learning my mistakes through that life review. I felt great sadness for the times when I was unloving. And I think that helped me to understand exactly the meaning of our lives.
And I'm so grateful you made the point, too, that whilst you were experiencing that remorse, that the light source was loving you regardless, pouring all of this love into you.
Yes.
And I really want to encourage our listeners that that's what they can look forward to.
Yes. Yes.
That's what we can all look forward to, is that we are going to be met with love and not anything else, except that what we in our own limited thinking may perceive as, you know, through fear or what have you, and that's what we're working on eliminating.
But I also want to remind the listeners, too, this doesn't give them free rein to go now and do unloving things in their lives with the expectation that, I'm going to still be loved through it. It's going to be very painful to discover that you had so many opportunities here in this lifetime to do good and to serve, and when you failed to do that, that's painful.
Yes.
I think we are our worst and harshest judge than someone else, for instance, God or the light or spirit. We judge ourselves very harshly when we realize it's like, we get it now. Everything is so crystal clear. And then you're shown all those times when you failed to measure up to love. Ouch.
Yes.
Very, very hard.
Well, we still have to be very responsible.
Absolutely.
And we still have to, in a manner of speaking, pay for our deeds.
Yes.
But it's, you know,
yes.
cause and effect sort of thing.
Yes.
But love is still the bottom line, according to our experiences that we've had, and that's really powerful. Well, I'm really excited and looking forward to your next book project.
Thank you, Julia.
That's really, really tremendous, and I'll look forward to reading that as well. Really appreciate that you have been with us and shared your wonderful experiences. And again, now, this book is called Hear His Voice, and you can get it through Amazon.com. And what was the other source that you said?
BarnesandNoble.com.
Barnes and Noble.
Or through my website.
Okay. Well, that is really wonderful. And I'm very grateful that we were able to connect this evening and share these wonderful points. And hopefully it's uplifted a number of people.
I hope so.
And you have been listening to Toward the Light, Leading Back to the Source. and you can visit my website, towardthelight.org, and contact me at any time. I'm always pleased to accommodate you with services. And we will be talking again next week. And meanwhile, do remember that only love prevails. And we will talk to you next week. Blessings and light to everyone. Good night.